Great opportunity of worship and to really focus on who Jesus is and all that he has done for us, Christ in us. It's an amazing thought when you think about it, isn't it? That the Creator, Sustainer, the one who loves us unconditionally is in us. What an incredible thought that is. It was 2013 and there was a young couple was walking their dog on their own property out in California, and they were just kind of enjoying the day. Probably had done that several times before. And as they walk, all of a sudden, one of them sees the corner of a can sticking up out of the ground. And so they think, well, that's interesting. So they walk, they dig this canister up, and they look inside of it, and it is filled with gold $20 coins dated from 1847 to 1894. One coin itself was estimated at about $1 million in value. Doing a little bit more, they found that there were other cans that had been buried on their property. They found a total of approximately 1,400 $20 gold coins. Now that's a retirement plan. Now, don't we all kind of dream about that? I mean, you have those moments where you're just like, oh man, you know, how nice would that be? Now, this afternoon, half of you are going to go home and you're going to start digging up your yard. But, you know, we kind of have this, we all want to find that treasure. You know, I remember even growing up out in Connecticut, we would go to the beach and as you're at the beach, you're enjoying it and come walking along as some older gentleman that's all leathery and tanned and wearing a Speedo and carrying a metal detector. You know who I'm talking about, right? You've been there, you've seen that, and he's just wandering along, and what's he doing? He's trying to find his treasure. He didn't have a good retirement plan. That is his retirement plan. But we want to find this treasure. Even TV, we see all that. If you ever go on any of the streaming channels, those things that are out there, you begin to see there's a lot of shows that deal with treasure hunters, finding treasures, you know, the hunt for D.B. Cooper's lost treasure, the curse of Oak Island, expeditions unknown, Gold Rush Alaska, Bering Sea Gold, Treasure Quest, Diggers, just to name a few of them. And all of them are trying to find the treasure. People are willing to spend millions of dollars in hopes to gain millions more. This is this desire that we have, a dream that we have. Well, this morning I want to look at two treasures that we find. There are two parables. We've been looking at the parables of Jesus, and these two are probably the shortest parables in the teaching, this and another one that we'll look at in next week or so. But Matthew chapter 13, starting at verse 44, says these words, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it." Now, this is a pretty simple parable. One of those that, obviously, parables are Jesus' teachings in order to get us a spiritual point. So when you read these, there's a couple of things that we can understand what this is not about. Jesus is not giving the disciples investment strategy. As a matter of fact, if he was giving investment strategy, no one would ever want to listen to him about the investment strategy, because he was looking at dumping everything into one thing. When you're trying to do investments, when you're doing a retirement plan, anybody who is in that field will tell you, diversify. You want to have as many different arms of income happening. You don't want to throw it into just one thing. So obviously, this is not Jesus giving a course on investment. It is also not Jesus saying, you know what, you need to go out and start digging around people's yards. Hopefully you can stumble on a treasure. That's also not what he's talking about. So what is he talking about? Well, he clearly states it in the beginning. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like. So he's saying, this is what you want to be looking after. The kingdom of heaven, eternal life, relationship with Jesus Christ. You want to know that your eternity is secure with Christ for all eternity. And this is a treasure that is worth being found. Now, in this very short text that we find, there are four truths. First one is that it is a treasure to be found. It is to be something that is sought after. This is actually an easily overlooked truth of Scripture. Because a lot of times, what we find is that the common teaching that would simply say this, we don't need to do anything, we basically stumble into salvation. You wake up one morning and you're saved. I mean, that's kind of this thing that people get. It's like, oh, yeah, I know God. I've had several conversations with people that I've asked them about their eternity, and they say, well, yeah, I'm going to heaven. How do you know you're going to heaven? Well, I know God. I know of God. Well, is that it? And people think, well, as long I'm a good person, I will stumble into heaven. But notice what Jesus says here. He says the kingdom of heaven is something that had to be found. It was something. Now, understand that it wasn't deeply hidden. It wasn't hard to find. As a matter of fact, we see in the first one, that really he does stumble upon the treasure. The man is, we don't know exactly what it was. It says it was hidden in the field. But this was a common thing actually to have happen in those times, what Jesus is teaching. Because understand, they didn't have banks back then. You didn't take your money, you didn't go to a bank, and you didn't put it in there, and then an investment for you and everything else. What happened was people had all of their possessions with them. But there was also a lot of conflict that occurred during that time. And so there were raiding parties. Other nations would come in and they would take over, they would oppress. We see that all throughout Scripture that happens. And what would happen with an individual is this. They saw that happening. If I had great wealth, I would take those things of wealth to me and I would bring it out into my field somewhere and I would dig a hole and I would bury my treasures, my things, in different areas on my land. Because what would happen is if a raiding party came in, they would maybe let me stay on my land, live in my home, but they would plunder my house. And this is what happened time and time again. That's what we read with Gideon, that the Midianites would just come in, they would take whatever they wanted, whenever they wanted, and they would go. So in order to protect their things, they would bury them in the ground. This was common. So what would be a case here would be one of two things. Either the person who finds the treasure was working the land for the owner. Maybe they had a field that they had a plot that they were putting some grain or something down, and as they were digging, as they were plowing, as they were doing something, they stumbled upon a treasure that had been buried. Or, like the couple in California, a lot of times they would walk through people's land, and as they were walking through their land, he saw this treasure. Now, the law stipulated at that time that if a treasure was to be found, if I found the treasure and I pulled it out of the ground, it belonged to the landowner because it was his land. So I would have to give it to the landowner. However, if I came across a treasure and I left it in the ground, I could go, and as it says, the man did, I could go and I could purchase that land. And as long as the landowner doesn't go back out and take all of his treasures that he knew was buried, anything then that was in the land was mine. And so that's why we read in this, that the man was walking, he was going through the field, he came across the treasure. It was something that was hidden in the ground for safekeeping. He found it, and then he bought the land. Both treasures in here were treasures that needed to be found. The pearl of great price. The man was shopping around. He was looking for something. He was trying to find the pearl or a pearl that could go in there. So the truth that we see, the first truth, is that the treasure of heaven must be found by every person. We have to come across it. Romans 3:10 gives us a pretty striking image here. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. This right there shows us that we don't wake up one morning and find ourselves accidentally saved. It just doesn't happen. We find the kingdom. Jesus even told his disciples in Matthew 6, verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these other things will be given to you. Seek the kingdom. Proverbs 8, 17. I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. You see, the treasure is one that is needed to be found. But again, it's not in a difficult place. We don't have to really go far to find the treasure of heaven. We have it right here in this book, the Bible. We have it in our lives, in our hearts. We have someone else who can tell it to us. Jesus says, look, the treasure is either in the ground or it was here. It had to be found. But also this treasure, secondly, it's a very personal treasure. It is a treasure that is to be found by each individual. Notice here, what's interesting is the person who found the treasure, he himself made sure that he got the treasure. It doesn't say that when he got the treasure, he went out and took it out alone. So he had somebody else. He didn't say he went and found investors. It doesn't say that he went and got family to come alongside. It says that that individual went and sold everything that he had in order to purchase either the land or the pearl of great price. It was a very personal decision. They were willing to sell everything. To gain the treasure of heaven, to become a disciple of Jesus, is an intensely personal decision. And it's a very important decision. We don't inherit heaven from our parents. This is one of those things. You know, again, there's a lot of people that I've been going to church ever since I was a kid. My mom and dad were Christians. I'm good. It doesn't work that way. Heaven is an intensely personal decision. It is a decision that I need to make in my own mind, in my own heart. When Jesus was talking with Nicodemus in John chapter 3, he's talking and, you know, he's kind of sharing all these things. Nicodemus being a Jewish leader, he's one of the teachers of the law and all this. And he was pretty confident in who he was. And in John 3:3, Jesus looks at him and he says, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. And Nicodemus is like, well, that doesn't make sense. How does that happen? But notice what Jesus' point is. Being born is one, it's your moment. It is yours. You are being born. No one else is being born with. Well, sometimes you have a twin that might come right behind or right before or something like that. But being born again is your decision. It's your time. It's your walk with the Lord. It's your rebirth. And here Nicodemus is seeing this and all. And Jesus is saying, look, all of the things that you know, all of the things that you have done, the position that you have, the authority that you hold, none of that makes anything. It is this decision that you need to start it all over again from scratch. You don't start over with what you have. You don't start over with the things that you've acquired. You start over again. And it's a decision to do that. Paul even talks about this in 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things while in the body, whether good or bad. This is an intensely personal thing. Notice, when we stand before Christ, I'm not going to stand with my wife and with my kids. I'm not going to stand with my friends and hope that they can interject into what I have to say. I stand before Christ based on what I did with the treasure that I found or chose not to even look for. John 3:16, one of the greatest passages. Look at how he puts it. God so loved the world. God so loved who? Was it one individual? No, he loved the world. He loved everybody so much that he gave his only son. But then look at the word, but whoever believes. Whoever believes will not perish but have eternal life. That whoever applies or implies individual decisions. My decision to search for the treasure and to find the treasure is what is necessary in this part. Are we seeking the kingdom of heaven? Am I seeking that relationship with Jesus Christ? The treasure is also one that costs. It's not simply just, it's not the lottery here. And again, we do a lot of disservice to this. It's what I often call the half gospel or the partial gospel, which is when we tell people, all you need to do is simply accept Jesus and everything is going to be great. He's going to take away all of your problems. He's going to take away everything that has been a problem in your life, and everything is going to be just great. You're going to receive blessing upon blessing upon blessing. I tell you, you talk to some Christians and they will look at you and you'll say, I have not experienced that. Now, I've experienced the goodness and the greatness of God. And I've experienced His faithfulness, His mercy, and His grace, but I can tell you, it hasn't been all wonderful. And we kind of go down this place of, look, everything is great. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying here. This is not about works versus grace. It is a gift of salvation. It is one that Jesus Christ, He paid the whole price. We don't earn our salvation, but our salvation is going to cost us. Notice what the parable says. The parable actually says that the first one, the man is out there and he's walking along the field, he comes along the treasure, and he finds the treasure, and he does not simply pocket the treasure. It says that he went and did what? He sold his car. Right? No. He sold his old vinyls that were worth something, right? No. It says he went and sold everything that he had. Everything that he had. Now let me ask you this. Did he sell everything that he had because he hated everything that he owned? Probably not. There were probably things in there that were important to him. He maybe had that signed jersey that was worth millions of dollars. Maybe not in that time. But you get what I'm saying. He saw this and he said, you know what, I have to do this. It's going to cost me everything. The pearl of great price. The guy had already had pearls. He was a shopper of pearls. He was an investor of pearls. But he found the one that he was willing to go and sell everything, including every former pearl that he had purchased, in order to get this one thing. It is going to cost, and understand this, to follow Christ is going to cost us greatly. Look at Paul's words. Philippians 3:8. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. Now, if you just read that, if somebody sat you down and said, you know what, I want to talk to you about Jesus. Here's the verse you need to know. I consider everything a loss. I have lost everything for Christ. Everything is garbage in my life. That's not a sign me up passage of Scripture, is it? You don't see people flocking to Jesus after that one. But Paul understands the reality. Everything is a loss compared to the treasure. Everything is garbage compared to the treasure. I have lost all things compared to the treasure. And I'm willing to do it again and again and again and again. Matthew 5:20, Jesus says, "For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." Jesus here is even saying, look, you're going to lose out on some things. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they had everything. You know, they had the cat by the tail. They had power, they had prestige, they had money, they had respect. They had everything that was there. And Jesus is going, you know what? unless the treasure, your righteousness, your relationship with me is better, that you're willing to lose out on everything that the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, hold tightly on to, you're going to miss out. This is the truth about being a follower of Christ. This is the truth about going after the treasure of the kingdom of heaven. You're going to be different. You're going to be an outcast. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be made fun of. You're going to be mocked. You're going to stand out, but not in a good way. You'll be seen as odd. You may lose power and prestige. You may even lose your job. You may lose things that are important to you because of the name of Jesus. Paul repeats this over and over again in his teachings. It's not cheap. Jesus, even in Matthew 16, 24 through 26, as he's talking to his disciples, says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul?" Deny self, take up cross, follow me. You want to know the treasure? It's out there. It's to be found. It's a very personal one, but it's going to cost. Let me ask you a personal question here. Would you be willing, if Jesus were to come alongside of you like he did to the rich young man in Luke chapter 18, and he were to look at you and to say to you today, "I want you to sell everything that you own. Give it all away. Don't put it away for another day. But I want you to sell everything that you own, give it away to those in need, and then just be content with me." Could you do it? Would you be willing to do that? You see, this is where it's at. This is what the kingdom requires of us, that we are to give willingly everything to know the surpassing power of knowing Christ as my Lord and Savior. Am I willing to do that? Now, I know I've painted a pretty beautiful picture of salvation up to this point in time, haven't I? The kingdom of heaven sounds great. But notice the last important part. The truth of it is the worth of the treasure vastly outweighs any cost that we will receive. Because understand that what happens with anything that is now, it is only a temporary thing. The value throughout the whole run to the end of eternity, which will never be, throughout all eternity, is so great that there is no cost that will ever come close. I used to watch a show several years ago. It was called Auction Hunters. I don't know if you've ever watched that show, but it's these two guys, they're friends, and what they would do is they would travel around to these different storage units. You know, some of them might have a storage unit, and they would go, and after several months or year of not paying the rent for the storage unit, the storage facility would put up a unit for auction. And people would come in and they would open this door up and everybody would stand there and they're looking inside and there's boxes and bags and all kinds of things and they couldn't touch anything. All they could do was stand at the doorway and kind of look in to see what was there. And then all of a sudden the auction would start. And whoever was willing to pay the most for that storage unit would get all of the things that were contained within that storage unit. And these guys, they would sit there and they would look in the door and they'd be looking and they'd say, "Okay, I see a box, I see this. And then they would see something in the back. And maybe it was covered by a tarp. And they would talk about it and they'd be really quiet because they don't want anybody else. And they'd go, "You know what? That looks like something that could be worth something." They didn't know what it was, but they knew that it had some value to it by the way that it was protected, by the way that it was covered. And so what they would do is they'd say, "Okay, this is all we brought." Then they were like, "We need to go all in. We need to give it all. And so they would do whatever was necessary in order for them to get that unit. And then what would happen is once they won the unit, then they would go in and they would start clearing it out. And you know what? There were times in that unit where they would open a bag up and inside of it was garbage. They're like, oh, that's not, they just toss it out. Oh, that was garbage. That wasn't worth it. Then they would open up something else, and maybe it was a little bit of jewelry, you know, costume jewelry, which they're like, yeah, that's that worth not, you know, we'll probably pitch that too. And they'd go through and thing, you know, opening bags, opening up boxes and different things, and there would be things, a lot of it would be worthless. But then they would come across that item, uncover it, and all of a sudden they realized that what they had before them, the worth of it was at times 10 times what they paid in order to get that. And you see, that's what this is about. That, you know, it's like we could see it, that there are times we'll go all in on a unit for Christ. We'll go all in for Christ. And you know what? There's going to be bags of garbage. There's going to be boxes that are just kind of meh. There's going to be some things throughout that time where you'll go, so bad, well, maybe you could deal with that. But in the end, what you find at the end of it is that this is great treasure that goes beyond what your imagination could ever say and ever see. Notice something important in the parables this morning. The man who was walking through the field comes across this treasure, and it says, in joy, knowing the value of what he found, it says, in joy, he went and sold everything that he had. Now, to me, that's an important thing. Because it doesn't say, in joy, he purchased the land. It says, in joy, he went and sold everything that he had. In joy, he gave up all that he had because he understood that the value of the treasure that was there was so great that it was worth it. In Romans 14, 17, we read these words, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. Again, this is important because oftentimes I think what we see is that the value of the being a Christian, of following God, is we'll sing the old hymn, there shall be showers of blessing, right? And we're like, you know what? Okay, God, I'm a Christian. Just shower those blessings upon me. And by the way, can you make one of them a Corvette? And we kind of go through that. And what we do is we feel that those blessings of God are the blessings of the material possessions or the wealth that we have. And Jesus and Paul says, look, it's not about eating and drinking. It's not about these things. The kingdom, the relationship with Christ is not about those things. What it's about is righteousness, that you are right standing before a holy God, that you have peace in your life. You're not dealing with all of that junk that goes on, that you have joy in the Holy Spirit. You are in that relationship with God. We talked about the rich young ruler a moment ago. But in Luke chapter 18, and turn there with me if you have your script, your Bible with you. I want to read a few verses out of that because we see this point being played out. We focus a lot of times on the rich young ruler, on how he struggled with what Jesus was asking. But Luke chapter 18, starting at verse 18, a certain ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? In other words, what do I need to do to get the treasure? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. All these things I have kept since I was a boy, he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor. Now notice the next words. And you will have treasures in heaven. It doesn't say you'll be repaid back. You will have treasures in heaven. Then come follow me. When he heard this, he became very sad because he was very wealthy. Jesus right there even says, look, there's a treasure that is worth seeking after. There's a treasure that is beyond your imagination, and it will be yours for all eternity. Are you willing to give up what is only temporary to gain what is eternal? Are you willing to give up that which moth and rust destroy to be able to get what will never be destroyed? Are you understanding that heaven, the eternity that we have with Christ, that the life that we've been given goes way beyond anything my pocketbook could ever purchase on this earth? The value of the treasure far outweighs the cost you and I will ever experience in this life. This is tremendous teaching for us today. This is not teaching that is simply for those who don't know Christ. This isn't just for those who are still needing to make that decision. Now, this morning, if you're here and you have not made the decision to accept that treasure, you haven't found that treasure, and you're kind of going through life saying, well, maybe someday I'll stumble on it. You know what? Today, let's get that out of the way. You're never going to just fall into heaven, okay? Find the treasure that is offered to you today. Seek it while it still may be found. Accept it. Go with it. Understanding the cost that it's going to be, because it's way more worth anything that you think is worth holding out on right now. But this is also for those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ. Because our minds can easily go back to the things of this world where we sit there and we go, you know what, I really like this, I really love this, and then we start getting pulled away from that relationship to some degree. Notice when Jesus said, seek first the kingdom, he was talking to people that already followed him. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek that treasure daily. Understand the gift that you have that is being stored up for all eternity in heaven. And enjoy. Don't worry about the cost today. Because it's worth it. There was a man who was walking through a field, and he saw a treasure. And in his joy, he sold everything he had so that he can gain the treasure. Are you a treasure hunter today? Are you seeking for that kingdom? I pray you are. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what an incredible picture that we have, that this relationship with you, salvation, heaven, is a treasure beyond what we could ever imagine. And it's there for us to have. You have provided it, that we don't have to make the treasure. We don't have to do anything. It's there, but we can simply say thank you. Thank you for this wonderful gift of life. And Lord, may we live each day counting the cost in a good way, knowing that we live in the hands of Christ, in the hands of our Creator, looking to that new home that we have, looking to eternity with you. Would you continue to cause us to search hard after the treasures of heaven? In your name we pray. Amen.